May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 157. Mourning souls by sin distressed, lost and ruined, void of good, you can never be released but by faith in Jesus' blood. Hymn 157.
To read the book of Proverbs, part of chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. labour not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up, and lose thy sweet words. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reign shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not. Also wisdom, and instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait, as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his colour in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, have mercy on us, we pray. Help us now to call upon thee in prevailing prayer. O, make us like that as make Jacob, to prevail with God and with men. O Lord, we pray, help us then to plead in that prevailing name, the name of thy dear Son, for that is how thy servant Jacob prevailed. He prevailed in the name of that blessed Lord that wrestled with him, thy own dear Son. O Lord, we would be enabled even now to wrestle with thee for the blessing, even this evening. O Lord, do not let us go, Lord, without a blessing. Give us that faith. Help us to lay hold of thee as Jacob did. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. We confess, Lord, we're not worthy of a blessing. Thou dost know that far better than we. But Lord, thy blessing is not to worthy ones. Thy blessing is to thy chosen ones. Thy blessing is to thy wrestling ones. Thy blessing is to those who plead the name, the blood, the righteousness of thy dear Son alone. Oh, make us so to plead now. Oh, Lord, for the sake of thy dear Son, for his name's sake, on account of that offering he made, on account, Almighty God, of thy infinite pleasure in thy dear Son. Oh, look upon the face of thine anointed, and Lord, do save us, do bless us, do speak to us. Do grant thy Holy Spirit. Oh, what a blessing that would be if thy Holy Spirit were poured upon us here this evening. Lord, whether it be to quicken a dead sinner into life, to convince a careless sinner of sin, to pardon a guilty sinner of all their sins, to loose a bound sinner from his or her captivity, to comfort the mourning sinner. Lord, oh, to assure the troubled heart. Oh, to assure those who long to know that they are thine and thou art theirs. Oh, we pray then for the spirit of adoption, whereby we may cry, Abba, Father, pardon our sin, Lord. Oh, we pray for true godly sorrow, true repentance. We pray, Lord, for more hatred of sin. Lord, that only hatred that thy word allows. All other hatred is sin. Thou said, love thine enemies, but the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Oh, we pray, Lord, make us hate sin more than we do. And Lord, thou knowest what alone can do this. A sight by faith of what sin costs thee, Lord Jesus. Nothing makes us hate sin like that. Oh, for a sign, they shall look on me whom they have pierced, and shall mourn for him, and shall be in bitterness, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Bless this people. Hear their prayers. Grant, Lord, tonight the answer to their petitions. Oh, Lord, pour out a blessing, that they shall receive more than they have asked for or even thought. O Lord, thou art God, thou changest not. Lord, thou hast said, I will pour out a blessing. And Lord, thou hast not changed, and therefore thy word has not changed. Thy blessing is not diminished that thou hast to give. O Lord, pour us out a blessing, we do pray. Lord, a saving blessing. Lord, oh, thou knowest what each one of us needs saving from. We all need saving from our sins, the devil and the world, but in what particular way, thou knowest, in each case tonight. Thou discernest the hearts, thou seest things right through. O Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, we do pray for that sin-conquering power of the gospel to be poured out upon the church of God. Grant it here, Lord, and wherever thy church is found in the earth. Oh, we do pray. Let the love of Christ be shed abroad by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For, Lord, love is the fulfilling of the law. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Lord, the greatest of these, said thy servant Paul by thy Spirit, the greatest of those three, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. Love all defects supplies, makes great obstructions small. 'Tis prayer, 'tis praise, 'tis sacrifice, 'tis righteousness, 'tis all. Oh, Lord, we pray then, shed abroad thy love in these hearts of ours. Pour out thy love, Lord, into the hearts of thine elect. Thou canst give it to none other but that love thou hast loved thine elect with from everlasting. Oh, let it be poured into their souls that they may experience it and that it may have those blessed effects, softening, warming, drawing, all those fruitifying effects, the bearing of the fruit. Lord, we pray, bless Zion. Oh, to the glory of thy great name, and to the salvation of thy people, bless Zion. She is graven, thou said, on the palms of thy hands. Show each individual that they are engraven there. Lord, help in the troubles, the trials, the afflictions. We bear before thee any who would be here tonight but are prevented by affliction. Visit them where they are, we pray. Lord, thou art not confined to any means. Lord, it doth please thee to use means. But Lord, how often thy people find that thou dost use no means. Thou dost come directly, blessed Spirit of truth, and speak the word into our hearts, and we bless thee for it. But Lord, oh, we pray for our afflicted friends. Sanctify their afflictions. Bring them closer to thee. Wean them from this earth. Make them realize their need more. Afflictions make us see what else would escape our sight. How very foul and dim are we. Lord, that's not all. And God, how pure and bright. Lord, oh, we thank thee for thy purity. We thank thee for thy brightness. Lord, we read of it on that Damascus road, conversion of Saul of Tarsus, a light greater than the light of the sun, many times greater. Lord, when thou dost shine upon us, there is nothing in nature can compare to it. When thou dost shine in the face of thy dear Son, The sun itself blushes at its dimness. Lord, oh, we pray, shine forth tonight. In thy brightness we beg, the brightness of redemption by blood, salvation by grace. Without money, without price, eternal. From the borders of the pit to the very throne of God in heaven. Lord, we bless thee for that ladder set upon the earth, reaching up into heaven, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Oh, may sinners by faith have that ladder set before them tonight. The precious Christ who came down from heaven and stood upon this earth in our nature without sin, who made his grave with the wicked, but having shed his precious blood and rose victorious from that grave, ascended into heaven with his own blood. Lord, we pray, oh, take us there. We must be led in the way that leads there. We must be delivered from the opposite way. Oh, we pray. If any are here this evening and they are in the broad way, deliver them. Help us, Lord, to pray. Give us a love for souls. To plead for those who, to all appearances, are in the broad way. To plead subject to thy holy will. Thou wouldst save them. Lord, do not ever let us think nothing of the loss of one precious soul. Thou said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Lord, then we pray, save thy people. We ask healing mercy if it is thy will. Thou art that wise physician of the body and mind. As we have all in varying degrees and measures proved it. Thou art able to do the impossible, for there is nothing impossible with thee. Speak the word only, Lord, and they shall be healed. But Lord, only when thou hast accomplished thy purpose. We would not have them healed, Lord, as thou wouldst not have them healed. Before or except it be at the same time, their soul be healed. Lord, we pray, do grant thy rich blessing then, and thus do glorify thy name. Help the deacons of this church. Uphold them, direct them, and strengthen them, and help them, and make them a blessing. And each member, Lord, unite this church closer and closer together. They may abound yet more and more in love. And every other blessed grace. O Lord, do give us grace to live as thou have us live. Oh, we pray that thou wouldst conquer this in us which makes living as thou have us live so impossible. Oh, conquer, Lord, all malice and envy and pride. Conquer, Lord, every error, every deceit. Oh, Lord, the way is so narrow we cannot find it ourselves. Thy people As thou dost lead them on, feel and find that the way appears to get narrower, but Lord, that is not really so. It is that thou art showing them the narrowness in a way that is not shown them before. And what must that mean? We must get smaller. Oh, do accomplish this, Lord. Make us smaller by thy increase. Lord, how solemn. And yet how blessed. He must increase. I must decrease. Pardon all we ask amiss. Make up where we so fail to ask. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 803, the second part. And did the darling Son of God for sinners deign to bleed, the purchase of that precious blood must needs be rich indeed. Hymn 803, part 2.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter we read, the book of the Proverbs, chapter 23. Verse 26. The book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Truly, as the Lord Jesus himself said when he was here on earth in the flesh, a greater than Solomon is here. My son, the Almighty God here addresses his child. Let not the females here tonight feel there can be nothing in this word, in this subject for them. When the Lord says, my son, he speaks of his child. There is, of course, a connection there. For this one thing is certainly true of all the family of God. They are the Lord's children in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord looks upon any one of his children, he sees his Son. That's what the church, that's what the psalmist felt when he prayed that well-known prayer. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, complete in him, accepted in him, the very spiritual being of that person is all of Christ. The Lord's people here then are spoken to by their father. My son. He says, I will say it is my people, and they shall say the Lord is my God. My son. Mine. Oh, what an unspeakably great blessing. What an eternally great blessing. There is nothing that comes anywhere near the greatness of this blessing. What this person, what this sinner is saved from, it being a son of God. And what this person is saved unto in being a son of God. They are saved from going to an awful eternal state of absolute and unmitigated misery and woe and pain and anguish. The bottomless pit. Why are they delivered from that place? All the reasons we might give to answer that question, they all come back to this truth. They are the sons and daughters of God. What they are saved unto, to be forever with God in heaven, to see him as he is, his name to be in their foreheads, and they to see his face with joy, to be washed from their sins and brought there and made fit to be in that very place. My son, my son. It is a relationship which can never be broken. As I believe we noticed on the last occasion I was here in that parable of the prodigal son. He must return because he is a son. He must be brought back. And God does it. And he cannot come back to the house as a servant. He comes back as a son. My son, is an unbreakable relationship. Oh, it is an unspeakably close relationship. A blood relationship, if we use the illustration of the natural father and son relationship. A blood relationship. That son came forth from the loins of his father, naturally speaking. It's part of him, we might say. And you see, those advances that have been made in more recent years concerning the structure of the what they call the DNA, how it can be proven from the blood of a person who their father is, vice versa. Oh, the close relationship. What closer than that relationship which God effects in the accomplishment of his eternal purpose through his dear son, the kinsman redeemer. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Oh, the mystery of this is indescribable. No minister can fully and completely and adequately describe the mystery of this union. Jesus Christ speaks of it, doesn't he, in John 17. That they may be one, as we are one. Because you see, God is God, and he is the creator of man. But the people whom God chose as his children, he eternally appointed that they would be manifestly and blessedly and actually brought into union with him through his son, taking the nature of man, raising it to a level it had never been at before. I in them, said the Lord Jesus, and thou that is the Father in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And listen to this. This is how close the relationship of the Father and the children is. That they may be one as we are one. As we are one. Oh, the mystery. But that is what is contained in this word, this wonderful word of God the Father to his child. My son, my son. God appointed from all eternity how this would be manifest. It is done. It was done before the world began. That is, it was done in the sense that God eternally chose to do it. And it was done in the sense that God eternally appointed the means whereby it would be done, that is, the incarnation of his dear Son and the work of the Holy Ghost in each one of his elect. My son. The first thing then we will notice concerning the experience here is this: God coming and making it known to a sinner that they are his son. My son. Oh, the amazement of the sinner when the Lord says unto them, my son. Why are they so amazed? Because in and of themselves they are nothing like the Son of God. What did Ruth say to Boaz in the harvest fields? She was amazed at the kindness of an earthly Boaz. Why hast thou taken notice of me, seeing I'm not like unto one of thine handmaidens? And all the proof that he is a type of the heavenly Boaz. Because what greeting does he give her? What name does he give her before he gives her those precious undertakings, those precious promises in the threshing floor? My daughter. My daughter. My son. My son. Give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. Does this mean, as some ministers would preach it, that God is dependent upon people to give him their heart? No. No. He is God, my dear friend, and he is not dependent upon any. What a mercy that is. Because let me tell you, my dear friend, if God depended upon sinners to give him their heart, no one would. It is beyond the capacity of man to give God their heart. They cannot do it. They cannot do it. Of themselves, they cannot do it. That's what I mean. Give me thine heart. Why? Why? Because, says the Lord, it is mine. It is mine. The hearts of God's people are not his, because they give him their heart. The hearts of God's people are his because he has bought them. He has bought them. That's why you cannot give your heart to God of yourself. Your sin must be overcome for your heart to be given to God. Your sin means your heart is in the possession of yourself, the devil, the world, your idols. And until you can overcome your sin, and until you can overcome the devil, and until you can overcome your idols, you cannot give your heart to God. but Christ. For every one of those whom his Father gave unto him, he has overcome their sin. He has overcome the devil. He has overcome the world. He says at the end of John 16, doesn't he? In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. This is the secret then of this call of the Lord to his people. Give me thine heart. The word of God is full of exhortations, isn't it? Full of exhortations. And the Lord's servants are commanded to preach those exhortations. Because we have not the power to fulfill those exhortations, let us not flinch from preaching them. Because if we flinch from preaching the exhortations for fear that the people will think that they have the ability to perform them, if we flinch from preaching the exhortations, we do not preach the gospel. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The exhortations must be given with long suffering and doctrine. Oh, the long suffering of God. How long, my dear friend, did you hear the exhortations of the gospel? And they went in one ear and out the other. It never entered your heart. Oh, the wonder of it when we consider what the Lord said concerning those cities wherein most of Christ's mighty works were done. He said if those mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But you see, the long suffering of God. And what does that mean? God continues to exhort through the preaching of the word. John the Baptist began his ministry with the words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ began his ministry with the same words. The apostles began their ministry with the same words. There's the long-suffering exhortation and doctrine. Now, the doctrine concerning the exhortation is this, that those exhortations are God's. There is a must in connection with those exhortations. But go to Psalm 110. And what is the doctrine there concerning the fulfillment of exhortation? That Psalm 110 speaks of Christ, and it says this, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. That's the doctrine. The power of Jesus Christ, the power of Almighty God, the power of the Holy Spirit in making the word life and power. I don't know whether I've mentioned it here, but if I have, it will bear repetition. John Duncan, that godly Scots minister, he used an illustration in regard to this subject I'm now addressing. And his illustration was a vice which has two jaws. One voice sets forth man's utter depravity and inability to do anything that is needful for his soul's salvation or for the glory of God. But a vice hasn't just got one jaw. He's got two. And John Duncan said the other jaw is the must. That is that which is absolutely necessary if a sinner is to be saved. If a sinner is to escape eternal judgment and win eternal bliss. And what is it? The must. Except ye repent, therefore ye must repent. Faith. Oh, what a must there is concerning faith. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God has every one of his people, to use that illustration of John Duncan, he has them under his teaching, under the Holy Spirit's conviction of truth. They are shut up in that voice unto the faith that would afterward be revealed. And what does the Spirit cause to come up out of the heart of that sinner in that vice? Cries for God to save me from my depravity and give me what I must have, which I do not have. And you see, that is the faith. That is the faith of God's elect. That by Christ Jesus, God gives sinners what they do not have, and what he gives them saves them from what they have. What he gives them saves them from their depravity. The faith he gives them saves them from their unbelief. The repentance he gives them saves them from their hardness. The love he gives them saves them from the hatred and the enmity against God. My son, give me thine heart. This then is the exhortation. This is the command. This is the word of God to my son. Well, if there's one thing that will constrain a sinner to give their heart to God, it is him telling them they are his son. That will do it. If God speak this word to you with power tonight, my dear friend, and assure you that you are his son or his daughter, you will give your heart to the Lord. The constraining, the enabling. We love him, said John the Apostle, because he first loved us. And we might say that the believer gives his heart unto Christ because Christ has bought it with his own precious blood. It's his rightful possession. Oh, there's no more rightful possession than this. No more rightful possession. You think of it, my dear friend. Everything else you might think of in the world today, and they are somebody's possession. Even the world itself, that is God's possession. God made it out of nothing. He hangs it upon nothing. He sustains it. But what will he do with it one day? The earth shall melt with fervent heat. But that won't happen to these hearts that Christ has purchased with his own blood. God is not going to destroy them with fervent heat. Why not? Why must he destroy the earth with fervent heat? Because of sin. And because he has put away the sins of these sinners' hearts have been redeemed from their sin by the precious blood of the God-man. And so they are God's eternal possession. My son, give me thine heart. The surest, truest possession that there ever is. My son, give me thine heart. What does this speak of? What is it to give the Lord our heart? Oh, it is surely when, as he speaks to us and reveals to us, assures us that we are his. And when he does so, he always makes us to know why we are his. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You have not redeemed yourself. You haven't dealt with your sins. I have dealt with those sins. You haven't removed that guilt of all your transgressions. I have. Now, what is it? The first thing here is this. Christ. And in and through him, God the Father and the Spirit. Loved above everyone else. I thought of that line of the hymn where the hymn writer speaks of the Lord's love and mercy and grace winning my affections and binding my soul fast. Now, does the sinner do that by their own endeavor? No. But the sinner does that. It is a thing which the sinner actually does. But how do they do it? They do it by the Lord's enabling. I thought of those two on the Emmaus Road. You see, experimentally, the heart of those two was not Christ. For they were not believing in him. They remembered the words that he had said, but they didn't believe them. True, there was that evidence. Oh, let us not forget that. Let us not pass over it. There was that evidence that those hearts of theirs were bought by Christ, or else they would not have been so troubled as they were. But what does he call them? Fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. But you see, to those two fools, to those two people, slow of heart to believe, to those two people who were reasoning, but to those two mourners, they were mourning that they could not give their heart to Christ. He drew near and went with them because they were his children. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. What manner of communications are these that ye have as ye walk and are sad? Art thou a stranger in Jerusalem, they said to him, and hast not heard the things which have happened there? What things? The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. We trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They still had a completely wrong perception of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But he said to them, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expanded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And what effect did that have? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way? I venture to say those two gave their heart to Christ. You say, well, they didn't know it was him, not till afterwards, no. But wasn't that giving their heart to him when they said, abide with us, it is toward evening and the day is far spent? Because that stranger, we know it was Christ, but to them it was a stranger. They had lost sight of the stranger and seen the stranger. They had lost sight of the stranger and seen the one whom the stranger preached into their heart. My son, give me thy heart. The Lord Jesus tells this son of his, I came into this world at the command of my Father. In every jot and tittle I obey the law of God for thee. I suffered being tempted by the devil and stood against him for thee. I was in agony in Gethsemane. I sweat great drops of blood. I was bearing thy sin, poor sinner. I was smitten for thy offences. I was wounded for thy transgressions. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. I let those people take me to Gabbatha and then lead me forth to Calvary. I let them nail my hands and feet to that cross. Sinner, I bore the wrath of God for thee. My Father smote me with his infinite sword of justice for thee. I died for thee. I redeemed thee. Fear thou not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way? My son, give me thine heart. I speak it reverently, my dear friend. It's not difficult, is it? To give our heart to Christ when he speak to us in love and in mercy and in grace. What a little thing it is he asks us to do when he has told us what he has done for us. I say it's a little thing, it's a great thing, but you know what I mean. Compared to what he endured, everything is little. Compared to the price he paid, the cost which the gospel speaks of, Any man buildeth a tower, he sitteth down first and counteth the cost. Seeth whether he hath sufficient to finish it. And you know the Lord Jesus spoke that in the context of a sinner following him. Oh, but when Christ tells us that he shed his precious blood for us, when he tells us that he gave himself a ransom for us, and when he assures us thereby of what our portion is, because of that we are saved in him with an everlasting salvation, washed from every sin and justified from everything. We cannot be justified by the law of Moses. What if he tells us, as he does, sinner, you must part with all? What is that all compared with the all of Christ? It's nothing, is it? The love of Christ constraineth us, says the apostle, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. And you see, this is that which the Lord is calling his son to in this text. Henceforth not live unto yourselves, but unto him who died for you and rose again. My son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. Is there a thing beneath the sun that strives, my God, with thee? Ah, tear it, Lord, from this heart of mine and reign there alone. My son, give me thine heart. Is it only the heart that the Lord says, give me? No. He speaks in this way, give me thine heart, because that is the chief thing. That is the chief thing. That is where the whole matter begins, my dear friend, in your heart. When I say the whole matter, I mean the whole matter of salvation. It begins in the heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when he says, give me thine heart, he's also saying, give me thy mouth. And faith works by love. We especially consider rightly the heart to be the seat of the affections. Give me thine heart. We do all things in vain, unless we do all things in love. But we don't have any love. But what Christ gives us. He gives his love that we may give it in return to him. And how does a believer manifest that love which Christ has shed abroad in his heart? By obedience to the one whose love it is. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Is there one here tonight and you say, oh, the minister is way above me tonight? You know, sometimes that's the sermon we need. But I hope the Lord would not leave me to preach above the very least. That is, the one who knows and feels to know least of the operation of the Holy Spirit. My son, give me thine heart. God here says to the sinner here tonight who says, I am the very opposite of this because I'm so disobedient. That opens up another line of thought that I'll try to express concerning this word. My son, give me thine heart. However bad it is, give it to me. However hard it is, give it to me. However empty of love it seems to be, give it to me. However unbelieving it is, give it to me. However troubled it is, give it to me. However perplexed, however sorrowful, give it to me. My son, give me thine heart. For though the Lord, in speaking to his child like this, he knows those for whom he died. He knows, he has known from all eternity, child of God, that he has forgiven your sins. He's known from all eternity that his blood hath cleansed thee from all thy sin. And that is the ground on which he says to this sinner tonight, my son, give me thine heart. For it is the Lord himself that can, in your experience, and he will do it, in your experience, change the heart. And make that sick heart healthy. Make that hard heart soft. Make that unbelieving heart believing. Make that heart that is so lacking in love to love him. My son, give me thine heart. Let me thy sorrows bear. 'Tis not thy caution, power or art can save thee from despair. Give me thine heart. You see, the work of the Spirit is to make a sinner to love God and his ways. You remember the spouse. She says to her Lord, tell me, O thou my soul loveth, where thou feedest. So in that condition, she wasn't satisfied with the condition she was in. She wasn't feelingly feeding. But she knew she loved Christ. Does that describe you, my dear friend, tonight? Though you mourn over the smallness of that love, does it never cause you to groan within yourself after Christ? What makes you do that? And how do you view that person, that Saviour that you're groaning after? Do you groan after him because you hate him? No, that's not possible, is it? You've grown after him, and you know, perhaps there are those here and you say, oh, I wonder whether I ever really pray. You know, some prayers are not expressed. Again and again in the scriptures we have prayer set before us in the sigh and the groan. My dear friend, there's often much more prayer in that than in 10 minutes of words. And in Romans 8, Paul says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit helpeth our infirmities with groanings which cannot be uttered. Groanings which cannot be uttered. Oh, you see this fair one. What is it makes him so fair in your estimation? He is the Saviour. He is the one who died for his people's sins. He is the one who loved his people so much. He shed his precious blood for them. He is the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Compassionate One, the Merciful One. Your soul, in this view of him, finds him lovely in the want of him. That woman loved him much, didn't she? Who went into the house of Simon the Pharisee. My son, give me thine heart. That woman, in that work of faith and love which the Holy Spirit was working in her soul in that house, she lay at his feet, washing his feet with her tears and wiping them with the hairs of her head. She was giving her heart to Christ, a sinner. And the Lord Jesus said to Simon, she loved much. Why? Oh, the Spirit showed her that this person was the only person that could save her from her sins. He was the only person that would have anything to do with her poor, never dying soul. You see, my dear friend, that's Christ. Have you ever been brought to that place the psalmist was brought to? No man careth for my soul. No man careth for my soul. That doesn't mean ministers don't pray for the souls. It doesn't mean fathers and mothers don't pray for the souls of their children. It doesn't mean pastors don't pray for the souls of their congregations. And ministers too as they come in and out among them. But it means this. Only the God-man can care for the souls of men. Only Almighty God in sending his Son. Only the God-man in obeying that law perfectly for his people can save their souls. Only the God-man in enduring in his holy soul all the wrath of God. He shall see of the travail of his soul, said Isaiah, and shall be satisfied. And that woman, she had a glimpse of this. That's what made her love. My son, give me thy heart. Now you see, we might look at this the other way round. If you feel that love in your heart, be it ever so small, that is a proof of your sonship. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren, the elder brother, and every one of his brethren. And let thine heart, eyes, observe my ways. Give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. We go back to those two on the Emmaus Road. When Christ warmed their heart in preaching of himself, then their eyes observed his ways. Before that, what were their eyes observing? They weren't observing his ways. They were looking at things with their natural eyes. What does the Lord say in Isaiah 40? My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and thoughts higher than yours. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes, these are the eyes of faith, observe. That word observe surely sets forth the seriousness, the considered looking, observation. In the word observation is contained patience. If somebody is doing a study on something and we might describe their act as observing, is not looking at something quickly, is it? Is not looking at something for a short period of time. Observing means watching, waiting. Patiently, let thine eyes observe my ways. Oh, what a word this. You know, if we're given an understanding of this, it will contribute, if I may put it like that, to the giving of our heart unto him. And it is contained in it. Because in giving your heart unto him, through his enabling, your eyes are turned away from your own ways and the ways of the world and the ways of the devil. Let thine eyes observe my ways. You know how often a child of God needs to be spoken to by God in this way. Their heart is not given to the Lord. Their soul's affections aren't fixed upon him, nor are their eyes fixed upon him. Their eyes are upon what they are doing, because their heart is fixed upon self. My own understanding, well, the understanding of the world is foolishness with God. Your own doings, well, what do your own doings consist of? All our righteousnesses, that is, the very best of our doings, are as filthy rags. They're all as an unclean thing. Let thine eyes observe my ways. My ways. He calls then his people to watch. He calls his people to faith in him. You can only observe his ways by faith. Where does he make his ways known? In his word. In his word. You see, Christ, when he preached to those two on the Emmaus Road, what did he use? The word of God. The word of God. He preached the word of God to them, and having the Holy Spirit upon him without measure, as he preached to them, the way appeared before them. They didn't see some vision in the sky. They didn't even know that the stranger who was preaching to them was Christ, but they had Christ preach to them. How? The word. Let thine eyes observe my ways. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is in this book that God describes his ways. from Genesis to Revelation, amidst all the other things that the Word of God contains, it is this one way. God's way of salvation. Let thine eyes observe my ways. The way I lead my people in. The way I save them. You see, if our heart be favored to observe his ways, what does that do? My dear friend, it makes us completely dependent on him. When we are not dependent upon God, what have we done? We've lost sight of his ways. We've lost sight that he calls the sinner by his grace. We've lost sight of the truth that he convinces of sin. We've lost sight of the truth that he teaches a sinner to pray. We've lost sight of the truth that he inspires faith in his dear son. We've lost sight of the truth that he speaks pardon. You see, my dear friends, I'm sure, and I speak to myself before I speak to you. How much of our thoughts concerning the way of salvation lie straight next to the Word of God? There are those traditions, there are these things that we get in our head. But if they are not according to Scripture, God will not own them. God will not own them. But oh, how blessed are God's ways. His ways are ways of wisdom. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, he's a buckler to all them that trust in him. His ways are ways of love. 'Twas love that took their cause in hand, and love maintains it to the end. Let thine eyes observe my ways. His ways are ways of mercy. Oh, sinner, to observe God's ways of mercy. The Pharisee in the parable, he had his eyes on his own ways. He had his eyes up to heaven bodily, but his eyes went up to heaven spiritually. And that's clear by his prayer. I thank God I'm not as other men are. My dear friend, you and I may do the same, but in a way in which perhaps we do not discern that we are the same spirit. That when we find ourselves so bad, instead of observing God's ways which are merciful, in that he actually speaks in mercy, he actually acts in mercy, he actually bestows mercy. What are we seeking for? We're seeking to be better before we come to God. So our eyes aren't observing God's ways. The Word of God, my dear friend, it sets forth the way of God is this. Listen to Hannah in her song of thanksgiving. The Lord killeth. If you are feelingly killed tonight and you observe God's ways, you will not come to the conclusion you're out of the secret. Because your soul's experience is the same as God's word declares. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. That's God's way. And what does your heart do if it observes God's ways? It doesn't conclude, it doesn't assume that because you're now dead, you will be quickened.
No, it causes you to ask him to perform.
For your soul, that which he sets forth as his way in the Word of God. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he is smitten and he will heal us. Let thine eyes observe my ways. Smitten sinner here tonight. It's only the Lord, it's only the Lord's sons and daughters he smites. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He is smitten and he will heal us. He is broken, he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third we shall live in his sight. A clear reference to the resurrection of Christ. Where, my dear friend, in that blessed word is there a work of man to be done? No. But what is the work of God? Look at God's ways. Look at God's ways in that text. Come and let us return unto the Lord. Why? For. Because of his ways. Because of his ways. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. His way is the giving of prayer. His way is the answering of prayer. His way is the making of the sinner to mourn and pour out their heart to him, and he binding up that mourning broken heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. Well, where is the place where God shows his ways? In the person of his Son. He said to Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Doesn't mean they're the one person. Does mean they're the one God. Doesn't mean they're the one person. The Father isn't a man. The Son is. But oh, it does mean this, that everything the Son does, did, was in perfect union with his Father. It was at his Father's command. When you see the mercy of Christ, you see the mercy of the Father. But let thine eyes observe my ways. There's so much in this word. The Lord lead you and me in meditation upon it. I just have to leave it with you as the time has gone. But there was this thought came to me. Let thine eyes observe my ways. Christ is the pattern. The complete pattern. In every single respect. The pattern of how a sinner is saved. There was no one humbled themselves more than Christ. But look where he is now. Exalted. The God-man in glory at his Father's right hand. Blessed is he that overcometh. He shall sit, says Christ, in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat with my Father in his throne. Peter takes it up, doesn't he, in that word concerning the casting of the care upon him. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. But then, just briefly, let thine eyes observe my ways. Faith in Christ has the effect in some measure of making a sinner Christ-like. If we say we believe in Christ,
and walk in a way which is completely different to how Christ walked, our faith is wrong. It is not the faith of God's elect. Let thine eyes, let thy faith behold my ways. And you see, it isn't that the sinner has to try to do it. What the Lord is setting forth here is that when a sinner really by faith sees Christ and follows Christ, the behavior will follow. The meekness will follow. Oh, the meekness of Christ. The humility of Christ. The holiness of Christ. Seek peace with all men and holiness. Follow peace, rather. Follow peace with all men. That's following Christ. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Let thine eyes behold, observe my ways. The Lord Jesus never calls his people to take a path that he has not taken. Let thine eyes. You see, when the jailer and his household had Christ preached to them, with the power of the Spirit, they gave their heart to him. And how did they give their heart to him? They washed the stripes of Paul and Silas. They were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Obedience, they observed. To observe is not just to look at. To observe is to follow in those ways. Ah, may the word pick up the lowest here tonight. Let thine eyes observe my ways. I save the lost. I pardon the guilty. I justify the unrighteous. But I do it in my way, not yours. Is there one here tonight, and concerning this great matter or concerning any other matter, you want God to work in your way? Well, he won't. He never will. And you wouldn't be happy if he did. Couldn't be happy if he did. There's only happiness in God's way, my dear friend. It may not be happy for your flesh. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. It's your soul that matters. The flesh dislikes the way, but faith approves it well. This only leads to endless life. All others lead to hell. Follow me, he says. It's the same command. Let thine eyes observe my ways. And you see, it's that naked trust. Let thine eyes, the eyes of faith. What Jesus has said will be fulfilled. Where Jesus leads you, he'll take care of you. The path Jesus leads you in, my dear friend, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. The path of obedience he calls you in, you'll have all the obedience given you you need. You'll have all the strength given you you need. Let thine eyes observe my ways. A sinner never casts their all upon Christ and he fails them. A sinner never ventures all on the word of the Lord and that word isn't fulfilled. This is observing his way. Is there one here tonight and you're asking questions? There's nothing wrong with asking questions of God. But there is something wrong in asking questions of your own carnal reason. Trust ye not in a guide, put not confidence in her that lieth in thy bosom. Let thine eyes observe my ways. Oh, what a blessed occupation. What a blessed occupation. The Lord, lift us up above observing the ways of men. Lift us up above observing the ways of the devil and set our eyes on the ways of God. That'll change your behavior. That'll change your spirit. It'll change the whole course of your life. You see, my dear friend, Jesus is the friend above all friends. There's no one like him. Give me thine heart. What is set forth here surely is the closest relationship possible. Who has that? Sinner, who has that tonight? Bless God for a dear wife or a dear husband. Bless God for dear friends. But, my dear friend, don't put them in the place of Christ because they won't fit there. No. One there is above all others. Well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother's, costly free, and knows no end. Well, the Lord is saying here, give me thine heart. Don't look back like Lot's wife. Turned into a pillar of salt. Let thine eyes look right on and thine eyelids straight before thee. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Robert Field will preach next Lord's Day. And a word of explanation here. We expected Mr. John Rosier, but out of compassion to Mr. Field, he has relinquished his date with us next Lord's Day. Mr. Field and his wife are looking after their daughter, who is quite ill. And the distance to Swavesey is much shorter than if he were to go down to Sussex. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation also at 9 o'clock next Lord's Day morning. And Mr. Hadley is expected to preach at our Trinitarian Bible Society service on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 956. Christ has blessings to impart. Grace to save thee from thy fears. Oh, the love that fills his heart. Sinner, wipe away thy tears. Hymn 956.
Thank you.
thank thee for the truth. Do bless it to us. Keep it in our hearts as we separate. Blot out everything that has been of self. Keep us safe. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost rest and remain with us each and the whole Israel of God, both now and forevermore. Amen.